Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Scott Boras is the agent to the stars. That's the way he told me to represent him when he comes on. And he certainly is that and has been for the last 30 years, 35 years, the top agent in the game of baseball. And he's nice enough to join us on a Saturday morning here in Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Bruce, Matt, I hope you and your families and all your staff are all well. Hope things are doing good for you.
Yeah, it certainly is a time for reflection and a time to evaluate ourselves and everything that goes along in life. And baseball, as important as it is to all of us out there as an outlet and as a profession for many of us, you certainly go up and back on the meaning when you see the devastation that's going on in the country here. But from your perspective, I know that your mind is always working. You're always working with your people. How have you kept in touch with your players, first of all? And how have you made sure that the maintenance on an individual basis is good enough for them? Because this is really uncharted waters. They can't go to the normal places to train or to the Boras Corporation and train there like they do. How have you kept up with them and made sure that the maintenance, both physically and mentally, is there for them?
Well, we have a sports fitness institute. We have psychologists. We have around 140 people in our company. And we essentially send out updates every week. We're in contact with each player about their physical conditioning, their routines. We record them. We communicate them to the teams. So we try to create a collaborative bridge so that we can really make sure that we know what our players are doing, how they're doing it, how they're feeling. And also, they're very anxious about the updates. Myself, I've been involved in, I have a medical background in addition to my legal background. And so I've been kind of absorbed with a lot of experts, medical experts, epidemiologists, immunologists, virologists, serologists, and really trying to understand this virus so that we can kind of associate that with baseball and look at this to talk about to players that how we're going to approach this going forward and the health and safeties of the players and what we should do and what are the probabilities and possibilities of the steps we can take to preserve the eliteness of their skills, their health, and also create what I think America needs is that kind of a unifying normalization, a trust that, what the game will bring when we come back and play.
The presence of baseball would do a lot for people's psyches in that way. It absolutely would. And you're talking to guys who love the game as much as you. But to do it safely, obviously, is the focus. As we are all kind of amateur epidemiologists these days, most of us don't have the medical background that you have and haven't thought about it to this extent. Let's get right to it, what your your idea is and what you've been trying to float out there. Tell people what functional isolationism is, Scott, and how that will be a part of what you'd like to see happen for MLB.
Well, I think in America right now, we have a bit of a dilemma, and that is that there's a large contingent that are obviously, you know, they're focused on the public health issue, and that in effect is the isolation of the population to literally allow for, you know, to reduce the spread of the virus. And the other aspect is the social determinants of health, and that is, you know, economically, having nutrition, working, being isolated with domestic violence, psychology, depression, all of the things that returning to work and functioning would bring. And to harmonize the two aspects of it is that you have a definite need to adhere to the needs of the public health situation, and also to take a very close look at the social determinants of health so that we can return and create. We have 26 million people that are unemployed. And so in doing that, for baseball players, really America needs a model. They need a model to how do we return to work? How do we do it? How do we mitigate the risk of the public health issue? Baseball players medically are rather unique because they have, most of them have a 5 to 15 year history that they are examined daily. That is unlike the normal person in the population, that when you go to do a history on them, you're going to show up in the emergency room and you might have 15 minutes of history. And so you know all their underlying medical conditions, plus their at the age that we know that this virus has the lowest mortality rate. They're also in first-class physical condition. They don't have any underlying medical conditions, which we know from this virus provides the lowest mortality rate. And then having them, when you go and look at America, which really made me think, there's a very well-known epidemiologist named Arthur Ringwald at UC Berkeley, and he spoke of that states an examination of what they should do, that they should give increasing flexibility to locality, that you make appropriate decisions as opposed to everyone needs the same, exactly the same thing. And when you look at that, you can simply see that I can tell you that six states account for 69% of the mortality of this virus, mm-hmm. 69%. And that would include six ballparks. That's New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Connecticut. On the other hand, I can give you nine states and 17 ballparks that only account for 10% of the mortality of this virus. So this is a very regionalized virus and the impact it has on our country. And we have to look at it that way, knowing that if we can take players who have the lowest mortality rate for their population and have them in states and perform in Florida and in Arizona, which when you look at their... to give you an idea, that New York State has 108 deaths per 100,000 people. New Jersey, 63. You know, Connecticut, 49 per 100,000, where we have Arizona is 3.8 per 100,000, and Florida is 5 per 100,000. Dramatically different mortality rates in the spring training sites than the other states. So this creates a model that we know would have the least mortality rate, which is what this virus, what we're attempting to do from the public health issue, is avoid mortality. And by allowing this group to return to function, I think it'll create a normalcy. It'll create a hope, a spirit. And remember, these players aren't being paid to do this. I know my clients, I've discussed it all with them. They're willing to take this risk. And I also think from a perspective of working conditions, most people can go back to work right away. Baseball players have to have a condition, a precondition to working, and that is they have to get in condition and get in shape and also advance their skills before they can play.
Scott, let's advance it and say we get the go-ahead. There's some medical, there's medicine out there that can help with this virus, and baseball gets to go ahead for spring training. Of the models that you've seen out there, what is most realistic to you, or do you have your own model that you think would be more functional as we move forward and get the go-ahead?
Well, I think the first thing, Bruce, is that we have to focus not on the schedule. We have to focus on getting players ready to play and certified, because we've looked and arranged a testing model to get tests done every day, because you have to bring in, and my idea is you phase players in. You bring in pitchers and catchers, a small group. And again, they're agreeing to be isolated. This is the functional. They're going to function, but they're going to isolate. They're going to be in hotels. And I've asked players, would you be one? You're going to have to be away from your families for 30 days and be in the hotels, go to work, go back. And then 10 or so day later, bring in the next population of a group of position players. Keep them separate from the group that you've already tested. You categorize in three categories of those who are negative, those who have the antibodies and have immunity, and those who test positive on arrival, and you isolate them for 14 days. And so you set up this basically herd of players that you know are now certified. Then mayors, governors, supervisors, fans know that baseball's created a safe group of performers. And for me, Major League Baseball needs to be played in Major League ballparks. I know someone came up with an Arizona idea. You want isolation. You want the vastness of Major League ballparks. And so what you do, I've given you 17 ballparks in 9 states that have very, very low mortality rates. You can use them. You know, you can use any variety of them to create a functional league. You could set up a California league and have 5 ballparks with a very low mortality rate. We have our hospitals are not in any way burdened, and it's just a different world than it is in the Northeast. And you could have 6 teams at every ballpark, and I could give you a schedule. You could play, you know, 14, 15 games a week and until the rest of the country clears up to the level of the states with the low mortality rate. But the key thing for me is right now, focus on getting the players ready and then give Major League Baseball a chance to look at treatments, medicine, take a look at it in a couple weeks, get further data, further intelligence from the medical community, and then we can go and determine what the best possibilities for scheduling is. And, you know, when you look at Florida, Texas, Arizona, California, obviously the mortality rates are much, much different, much lower. It's a much riskier issue. And also, as far as the people that we can eventually invite into games, we're going to have people in restaurants very soon. We're going to have people with a limited opening of a lot of states very soon. And so obviously, if they're sitting in restaurants, they could probably have an isolated program where you could sit in a ballpark where you may not be able to get 40,000 in, but you might be able to get 10 and separate them. So you have all these dynamics that can unfold as we watch our creating a new inception. It's not going to be, this model is not the norm, it's the new norm. We're going to have a new Amerishake. We're going to put our hands over our heart and not our head. That'll be a way of greeting. Or it's no longer going to be the touching process. And so we have a lot of new dynamics to go through. But when we look at this virus and look at the low mortality rates and what we can do safely, certainly I think MLB players can lead the way to give America a solution and data and a method that maybe other employers can use as they bring their employees back and create kind of a functional isolation that allows us to address the public health issue and also the social determinants of health issue.
We're talking to Scott Boras here on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score, and you just gave us a lot of the details as well as the broad strokes. And for anybody who's joined the conversation at different times, this plan is clearly very thought out, scientifically informed. You've talked to and dealt with epidemiologists in this, and it's not just kind of pie in the sky. Boy, it'd be nice to have baseball. Where has this plan gotten to from your hands to whose, Scott? Does Tony Clark have this, the head of the players union? Do you go to Rob Manfred or MLB owners with this? Where is this plan in terms of getting it into the conversation and into the negotiations between the other powers in baseball?
Well, ball players, much like astronauts, when you're stepping into a what they call in medicine a vertical risk, you need to go to the players first. And certainly, I wanted to put the data together to talk about where is it that we can best begin the game and allow you a functional isolation. Where can we do this? Why do we include isolation? It's not easy for players to, you know, these young men at their ages, they have babies, their wives are pregnant, they have infants in the house, and to be isolated from their families is a very difficult ask, but necessary considering the public health issue, because we're really trying to do everything we can to keep these mortality rates at the minimum. And we know we've had a number of professional athletes really contact this case and this virus, and we have really had zero mortality rate, which tells you about the age. Very small population included in that, but we're seeing that when you talk about where the mortality rates rise, it is obviously with underlying medical conditions, with people with you know that are very senior in age, and their health and conditioning is not anywhere near what it is of a professional athlete. So we have to get their consent. And I went through and you know all of our clients, and certainly they have told me that they agree, this is something they want to go forward with. They're willing to do it. They see the benefit potentially of setting up a control. When you set up controls in medicine to study what we do the most safe ways, it's still a risk, but the players are willing to do it. We've obviously advanced this information to, you know, I talked to owners and such and let them know. They have to obviously look at it from their end, but the idea for me was to sit, study, create, put a model together. And instead of creating a schedule before we return, I definitely believe we return, create a healthy group, examine and collect data as much as we can. Our country got a lot of negative or false data, and our medical professionals and their models were just not accurate at inception. And now we're getting true American data as to this virus. And in the medical community, we're starting to really understand where the concentration of the virus is. There may, in fact, be different strains of it, but we know a lot more than we know about the treatments, convalescent immunity therapy. We have different drug therapy, pharmacologic therapy that we know a lot more about. And we really know a lot about the mortality of the virus. And I think applied to the game and the sharing of this gives us an intellectual basis to do things now where we can approach it with safety and understanding and really start to focus on the idea of returning baseball to America.
Scott Boras on The Score and Inside the Clubhouse for a few more minutes. And Scott, to the more mundane part of this, and that is monetizing the game for both the players and the owners once it does return, and the new, new economy of baseball and how that might be reflected going forward for free agents a year from now, like Chris Bryant and some of your other clients. How do you see this impacting the economy of baseball going forward initially here this year, and how owners might dig in after this has cleared?
Well, the good news is that players have already made a major concession, anywhere from 25 to 50% of their salaries, because out of the collective bargaining agreement, owners could not move forward and create alternatives about what we do. Players have agreed to play in empty ballparks if needed. They agreed to play to neutral sites, and they agreed to play a partial season, all which were concessions under the collective bargaining agreement, and thereby have sacrificed what their annual salaries would be by anywhere from what most likely will be 25 to 50%. So we've already taken care of that from the player side to give them major concessions where they don't have to pay anybody unless they play. What's interesting about what's going on is that you have to think about something that is a real economic positive. We have a negative, and that is we might have to start with fans without ballparks. I say that with an asterisk now, because remember that you're going to be able to have people in restaurants. That's happening right now. You're going to be able to have partially, you know, open states. We're going to have early returns. And so we're going to have political environments, governors and mayors that can say, if I can sit in a restaurant, then I can sit in a ballpark. And we're going to have those considerations that might be even available to games in a very short period of time, depending on how these models and openings work out. But even assuming that, there's something that very interesting happened this week and that I talked about. What value is it of Major League Baseball to have isolation and having all these people at home watching their product, and what will that mean to rates? And the first evidence of that, I brought that up about 2 weeks ago, and the first evidence of that is the NFL draft had a 37% higher rating just for the draft than it's ever had in its history, because people at home, they want fresh content, they want sport, and I think that there's probably an advance that can be made with their media partners to talk about the concession that owners would make from the fan aptitude to start the game earlier, and yet the benefit they're going to have from regional and national broadcast rights. The owners have a big benefit in the sense that if they have a postseason, they get $1.7 billion, and that's not something that the players share in at all. That's all theirs. And that right is independent of how many games they offer during a season. It's just if they play in the postseason. And there's also about $2.5 billion in regional rights during a regular season. And that doesn't even include the rights of the additional valuations for clubs that own their own regional broadcast network, because they make even more money that's not recorded on their books because they pay the club a rights fee, which goes on the team books for revenue sharing. But the reality of it is they make much more than that because they have total ownership of their own regional network. And so the ad rates will go up, the rights will go up. And so there's an economic approach to that. I think from the standpoint of free agency and what we're doing, it will largely depend a lot on the number of games, but you're going to have a group of teams that are going to be, you know, all the major clubs with their own RSNs, and that they make probably 65 to 70% of their money off television. They're the ones that are going to be, that live in major markets. They're going to be the clubs that are least affected by this. but when you look at where baseball is going and setting up for 2021, I would imagine there'll be fewer clubs that are in the free agent market normally. But on the other hand, I think we're going to return to a very robust Major League Baseball market, particularly from the media side, as we go into 2021.
Hey, Scott, if there are games this year with no fans and teams are not getting the benefits of tickets, sponsorships, food, beverage, merchandise, Would you and your players still expect to be paid, you know, the prorated amount of exactly what the going rate is, or would there be room to negotiate in terms of the regular season?
Well, I don't think that players and owners, you don't cross the line of ownership. Baseball owners in the last 10 years, their value of their franchises has gone up almost for almost any club 2 to 3 times, and most clubs 3 to 4 times in value. And so when you're talking about players go in and talk about what they get paid per game, that's part of their seniority. And so because they have to earn that right, some make the minimum, and through your seniority, you become free agents. And so we've already taken and considered all these factors when we ran into the negotiation the first time. This was just negotiated literally 40 days ago. So we anticipated clearly playing in empty ballparks. The concession that players made, you know, you hear about people coming in and saying, I'm giving up 25 to 50% of my salary. That is a big, big, big step when you're talking about short careers and what these players do. So the suggestion that there is more needed was, frankly, already contemplated by ownership when they set a player compensation and benefit provision in this agreement, which is exactly what it's labeled. And all those dynamics were discussed and negotiated just 30 days ago. So we have finality as to what the parties agreed to and going forward with the anticipation of dealing with the virus and empty ballparks and such.
Scott, this has been enlightening and a lot to chew on for us and our audience and people in baseball out there. Thank you for taking the time out. We wish you health and safety for you, your players, your family, and the people that you know. And thanks again for giving us some time today on Inside the Clubhouse.
Bruce and Matt, thank you for what you do. And frankly, it's a pleasure to talk baseball with someone.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks again. Have a great day. Right. We'll talk to you soon. Right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.